from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Ellis Island is a site. Willie G is here with us. Cofield. The front yard on a Monday. World Series Game 3 coming up. Monday Night Football with the Steelers. I will not mention the other team. This garbage. Get the Jets and the Giants off of Monday Night Football. Come on. Jets are back on primetime again this Thursday. Enough. So what's up, buddy? You're all you're kind of morphing into a fall here. You're kind of a mock turtle. I like the look.
Look, Cash. Look, I got the sport coat in the car for the Golden Knights tonight.
Oh, that's right. What is going on? Is this like Cash Monday for you? Like once a year? You are dressed down today for a VGK game.
I've been clothes shamed all weekend. I haven't really been. Well, I don't wear a suit, and all of a sudden everybody's like, "What's the deal?" Blah, blah, blah. I was like,
"You set the standard, man."
Yeah, but nevertheless. Everybody can just shut the F up and
just
leave me
text
alone.
Us a heads up that you're going to be casual, and then we won't be shocked that you're not at your most dapper.
I usually expect to be completely outdressed. Listen, I get
but
it.
Today I'm like, I'm kind
I understand. I get it. I understand, you know, after years, decades of suits and everything. But if the shoe was on the other foot and if I were to say this to somebody of the opposite sex and start questioning their attire, I would get.
Well, I'm not the opposite sex. I understand
those rules. That, but I'm just saying. It took place this weekend.
We talk about your weight on the air. You think I would ask any female about their weight on the air? Unless they're, you know, a fighter.
Are you calling me fat and underdressed?
I think we've commented on both of our physiques this season that maybe we're both a little bit puffy right now. I probably wouldn't, you know. Alex White is on Wednesday. I'm not going to open the show and be like, hey, Tubbs.
She's not. She's not.
But you get my point.
Yeah, okay.
We know there are rules. Did you have women skewering you about your outfit?
Yeah.
Well, then, okay. Well,
didn't
then,
appreciate
you know,
it.
I'll go to the next game.
Didn't appreciate it.
If you need a heavy, got to tell these people off. Don't worry about what Willie's wearing, okay? He's in a casual mood.
I am. I've been in a casual mood for a while, and you know what it is? It's so many things strung together. This is the eighth straight day of something, or back-to-back things that are taking place, going from one place to the other. The other day was the matinee with the Knights and then over to the UNLV game. I'm just not into wanting to throw on, you know, the suits or three-piece or whatever it may be. One of the many.
You've been in all these years.
But it's never been. How many times have we talked about in recent years where there's so many things going on? There's back-to-back events, same day.
It's a lot of suits.
Yeah.
What'd you do this weekend? You did the early game, the Nevada Day game.
Yep.
You didn't have Nevada Day off? No, you don't get Nevada Day off. Early game with the Knights, then in the evening with UNLV against Boise.
Right.
Saturday, you were on the USC beat. I didn't know that.
I was. I got up early and did all my sports betting writing, and then I took a power nap in the morning, and then I jumped on for the 11 a.m. UFC in Abu Dhabi, wrote about that, filed for AP.
And then back with the Knights.
Trying to think, I think I may have snuck... I think I may have snuck a lift in. I ran over to the gym and got a lift in.
I snuck a lot of snacks in.
We got our Halloween
candy, too.
Oh, you're puffy.
I'm going to be. If I don't watch for the Halloween candy.
And then I went to the Knights game, watched them beat up on the Sharks.
And then the torture of the Raiders all day long.
God, that's brutal.
You know what's funny with the Raiders? There's such a pageantry to game day, and then there's such a – It's kind of the cool down. Like I watching videos of people after the game. It's just people are so down in the dumps. I watched one guy walking across the Haas, and I was like, this guy's going to throw himself off the freaking bridge. Listen, on Sundays, I didn't have a good football weekend, right? None of my teams won. Team I covered, UNLV, didn't win, right? Yankees couldn't win either. I went 0-5 this weekend, but I came out of the weekend pretty happy. You know why? Thank you, Lord, for
Back to the Future.
Jaden Daniels, and even more, thank you for this Tyreek Stevenson guy and the Bears who decided to go and talk trash off to the side as a Hail Mary is going to be thrown. Like, bro, what are you doing? That is one of the greatest plays on both sides I think I've ever seen. I was so fired up. We were actually sitting at home, and SO and I are watching a bunch of games, and I got this game on, and all of a sudden I was just like, no! Just that was unbelievable. Why would you not yell on that?
I don't know, but you scared the heck out of Destiny.
They're fine. There's the guy over there. It's all good. Sports talk. We get excited. That was great, though. And then I immediately thought, oh, my God, Raiders fans kind of trying to settle down after the loss. Then I got to watch Jaden Daniels throw a Hail Mary and get the commies to, what is it now, 6-2? Commanders. Unreal.
Were you fired up about the creamsicle uniforms?
I didn't get to watch enough of that. But, yeah, when I saw the highlights, that was pretty cool.
Okay, so I want to ask you this. There's two things that I think of, I mean, with immediacy.
From the weekend?
No.
Aside from your work schedule and getting ripped for being casual?
No. When you see or hear, there they are. When you see the creamsicle uniforms, what's the very first thing or a couple of things you think of? Or who?
I don't know. Steve DeBerg. Was it Ricky Bell? The Selman brothers?
I think of Leroy Selman, and I think of that infamous 9-0 playoff game against the Rams. Remember that?
Yeah, back in the day.
Wasn't that I think that was the NFC Championship. The Rams won 9-0.
It was like 5 years into their existence because they had been whatever they were, like
with
1-27 the first couple of years with John McKay.
Yeah,
and somehow
they
made it.
Yeah.
That was Doug Williams, too.
Mm-hmm. Before he went to the Redskins.
I love those uniforms. I think they're awesome. I think a lot of the 70s and 80s uniforms, they should go back to them on a regular basis. A lot of the, like, it's funny, the, I'll mention the SO again, the significant other. She said at first she had no idea who the commies were. Not because they're called the Commanders, but because the uniforms are completely different.
But the color scheme. Unless they
then we popped to a place. We actually went out for the night game between the Niners and Cowboys, and all of the Washington fans with their Redskins stuff on were still hanging out at the bar. I did not get there in time to see the explosion. Who doesn't love Hail Marys unless you're on the other side? For Bears fans, like I texted McKinnell. Ryan McKinnell was in on Friday helping us out, and Ryan's a longtime Bears fan, and I know Griffin as well. Not only do you lose on the Hail Mary, but then you got to watch the highlights from the stands of this guy like talking trash and then running in and tipping the ball, and the guy who catches it, the guy he's supposed to cover. I mean, good thing for him he apologized, because I got to tell you, if he had taken, you know, gone the who was the guy yesterday, Diggs, on the Cowboys, like if he had gotten all snotty and snippy in the presser, if I'm the Bears, I might have been like, okay, one, you got to apologize to your teammates, and if I don't believe it's genuine, we got to get rid of you. And you don't get rid of guys like that because of one mistake, but that was stupid.
Can we go back for a minute? You said that you went out for the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
The SO takes you out in public, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't realize that was her. She was okay.
Well, as it turned out, her friends were out, and they had been through a day of football, so there was they were faded, cross-faded, drunk. It was fun to be around them.
They needed.
I was not, for once. I was not.
Yeah, well, you're not fun to be around a lot. We covered this last one.
Very fun. How did we cover it?
Just your cantankerous ways. Remember, we leading into the show.
Come in on Mondays. Well, here's the deal on Monday. First of all, Griffin, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing fantastic. It's another great week. Can't wait to get started.
How do you know it's a great week?
We're attacking him.
We're 15 hours
he's
in.
He's trying to be positive, but you hear the way he says it? He's like, it's another great week.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a big
I'm out
sigh.
Of shape, man. I'm out of shape. That's just me gasping for air a little bit.
Mondays, Cofield and Companies are a cantanker off.
Okay.
It is who's going to come in. You actually picked me up. You walked in. I'm like, oh, what's Willie going to be like today? And then we never know with Griff. Who knows?
Okay. Here's a half confession. Everything I said before about the suit is 100% spot on in terms of I am tired. I am wore out. Sometimes I'm just not feeling it. But part of the reason I'm up in weight. I don't feel like...
Oh, you can't fit into it.
No, I can fit in.
Yeah,
I got 43 suits.
Are you sure?
Steve.
You have 43 total. Yeah. I thought you were telling me you're wearing a 43 jacket. I'm like, you ain't wearing a 43 jacket. You're a big guy up top.
I think it's between 44 and 46 regular. It just depends.
That's it?
It depends on the cut, and then they cut it to me. They tailor it to me.
I am really fat because I'm bigger than that.
Yeah, you are.
And you're like kind of in shape.
You are.
Mostly in shape. Usually he goes, you are.
But it's there's a lot because by the end of
it, man, I'll rock a 50.
And the other thing is you eat during the events, you're having a ton of water, and so by the end of it, it's like,
okay, well, I'm glad you got that out there, because here's the thing: as we come in here, generally after Raiders losses, this is what we do. We just try to console each other, not even over the Raiders. We're just like, I don't want to do this to the listeners,
right.
So we'll just complain about whatever's going on. I have no complaints, but I got to tell you, between you and your puffiness and your suits – and maybe they're ill-fitting right now. And then Griffin, you got to you really need to lay it on the line here on the air. He needs help. This phone thing, we haven't really talked about his phone. This phone thing, I don't think I could do without a phone for a week. I don't know how you're doing this.
At first it's been hard, but I'm also
– it's been hard.
My eyes are open now. I feel like I'm looking at the world for the first time. No distractions,
right?
No screens. It's beautiful.
Griff, what's your –
no communication.
What's your favorite
no
NFL
efficiency.
Team, Griffin? What's your
why would you do that?
What's your favorite team?
We were going to sidetrack him. You know his favorite team. I just mentioned it.
I don't know it.
Oh, motto.
Da Bears, baby.
Oh,
Da Bears.
Yeah. I thought – for some reason I heard you say McKinnell. Well, because – no, you know why? Your Jets lost. My Cowboys lost. His Bears lost. Who's your favorite team?
Ever.
Bronco, go home.
Yeah, I know. No Broncos fans allowed on the set. Pukes. Denver pukes. Idaho pukes. Everyone's a puke. KC pukes.
What about the new kid?
Do they all leave? Jake.
Green Bay pukes.
Oh, he's the worst of it all. This kid's got the Raiders as a favorite team.
That's. I don't know if it's the worst. We can measure this whole thing. It's pretty bad right now.
It's the worst.
Yesterday. The worst part of yesterday was they got a Chiefs team that wins but doesn't win big. The Raiders play pretty good defense throughout. They make Mahomes and company have to work a lot on offense. They're very much in the game. And then I don't know what that was. I think it was more execution than play calling.
Okay.
17-13. You got first and goal on the three, Willie. First of all, I want to know what was the crowd like. The Raiders fans, you could hear when they got stopped on fourth down.
You couldn't. That's just it. Is normally you hear booing. The Chiefs fans cheering when the Raiders would screw up multiple times.
So loud.
We were trying to figure out what was more red. The 42,000 in the house for the Rebels or the however many thousand that were in the house for the Chiefs. There was a lot of red in the stadium all weekend.
Well, going back to UNLV, they did get a big boost on the 42,000 from probably 8,000 Boise fans. So we're looking 30,000 plus of Las Vegans watching the game. I think backing UNLV, do you think there were – really? You think there were over 30,000 Chief fans in the building yesterday?
I'm going to tell you right now, just based off of this –
in the regular seats, which is like 57,000, and then you add on all those suites to get to this whatever it is, 62,000.
I'm pulling up the attendance. I want to see how many people were in there. And I'll tell you what, because I think it was probably, there were 62,000, announced 62,500.
Yeah.
If I'm putting that to percentages, I'm saying that, I'm going to say that.
I think he's doing math on his computer calculator right now, Griff.
I am.
I can't see it, but
I'm saying 46,899. 75% were Chiefs. Yes.
I think it. I wasn't there, so
it was
I can't
75,
speak.
25
How about
in my eyes?
30,000, but they sounded like 75%. Is that better?
No shot. That means that
I thought you were going to say something else there. Were you ready for that?
I had that dump button ready to go.
That was real close.
I thought Willie's about to
that
wild
was
out.
Real close. No, I won't do that. 62,000, and you're saying that means that you're saying that more than half were Raiders fans. You are out of your mind. It was easily in favor of the Chiefs, and not because of sound. No shot.
What a sickening weekend for Vegas. Now, I hope they spent lots of money. I hope they spent tons of money, but between fans from Idaho and fans in from Kansas and Missouri, what a gross weekend.
I do not agree wholeheartedly with that comment in terms of what a bad weekend for Vegas. Because, first of all, it sucks that UNLV lost because they played well. They could have won that game. They didn't, and it's disappointing. But they didn't. At least they tried. The Golden Knights are playing tremendous.
Are you going to say the Raiders didn't try?
That's exactly what I'm going to say because you didn't let me answer the question.
Outrageous.
You answered it for yourself, but you said what happened there because this and then this. Has anyone – I know it's in all of our minds, but let's just put it what it is. Is play calling that atrocious? Is decision-making that atrocious? I thought Tashaun Reed from The Athletic wrote a great story, absolutely great, putting it on Antonio Pierce's head. I think anybody that's questioning Luke Getsy, has anybody stopped to think that their crowd – we are so hoodwinked to blame Luke Getsy and Antonio Pierce and Gardner Minshew and how bad this team is that they're just making it look, the tanking look really good. Hello, Shedeur Sanders. They've got us such hoodwinked that we are actually calling for Luke Getz. I was the one that asked the question to Minshew and Pierce yesterday if the play call, if what's up with Luke Getz. Like I said, I mean, everybody's talking about, well, maybe it's not him. Maybe it's Pierce's decisions. Maybe it's that they're doing it so well that they're tanking.
We'll address that.
Oh,
I mean, what a ridiculous bummer to start the show out on that they're tanking so well. They're fooling. Come on. We got Monday Night Football on the way. Before that, though, about 15 minutes before that, we've got the World Series on Game 3. We're here at Front Yard at Ellis Island. It is a Mega Monday where you buy one, you get one of the massive 50-ounce drinks. That's the Mega Mosa, Mega Mary, Mega Sangria, and the Punch Drunk with Howlerhead and coconut rum and pineapple and pomegranate. That one's awesome. And, of course, they have the $7 Bites, which includes the pork belly bites, mac and cheese if you want it. Great menu here. We're just getting started. We got cool prizes, including all-you-can-eat and all-you-can-drink beer packages for football viewing. So get on down here. Good stuff on the way for a sports weekend. And, of course, we'll have a bunch of Steelers fans here. So if you're a Giants fan, come on down. Let's all root on Danny Dimes. I'm going to put money on him.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
A fan brought a Kermit the Frog puppet dressed in a Mahomes jersey that ended up in the hands of rookie safety Trey Taylor.
I'm here.
Video was captured of Trey with the puppet that then surfaced on social media where it appeared the Raiders mocked Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes told us that he's well aware of the video. He saw it that week and simply said to us, we'll handle it on the field.
Punt, second and goal. Digging, turning, pushed, shoved. Trey Smith from behind with a push for six and a one-yard touchdown run.
I'm here.
Yep, he was here. By the way, I think he is genuinely upset by the Kermit thing. So I was so glad. If you're going to lose, you may as well lose having fun for the Raiders fans. You see all the people dressed like Kermit? Kermit puppets. Let's do it.
I'm here.
Griffin and I will go back and forth. Do we have it? I don't think you have it in your voice today, Griff.
I'm here.
Wait, was that you or wait, what? That was almost perfect.
We're going to get technology. We got technology going for us now. We got that.
I'm right here.
Sampling it in.
It is one of the dumbest things for someone to get mad about, especially if you know you sound like that puppet, that Muppet. You just deal with it, right?
Mondays.
Like you look like if he had a smaller head, you're like Beaker.
Okay. I was about to say, opening segment on Mondays with you and I is like Statler and Waldorf, the two old guys in the balcony.
Yes. You know, I did not know their names.
I didn't either.
That's but I love that. I love those guys. That's been the show for 20-plus years.
That's them.
The two guys in the balcony.
Hi, ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Not bad. We'll work on it for game two.
Can we get...
There's nothing more insulting to somebody than calling them a Muppet. So the Muppet theme of this all is just so funny.
It's tremendous.
Who would have been?
It's an honor to be called a Muppet.
Who would have been the best bodybuilder on the Muppets, Griff?
Oh, Big Bird. Bird's a Muppet? No,
that's Sesame.
No.
Sam the Eagle.
That's the Muppet Show.
They're puppets. They're all the same. If anybody's going to be a big old jacked Muppet or puppet, it would be Big Bird.
I don't think so.
I disagree.
Very pear-shaped.
Or that boy who lives in the garbage can. I forget what his name. Oh, Oscar. Oscar the Grouch. He's got anger. He's definitely going to be a pumper.
Yes, that's this whole show.
I really like the have you ever seen the either on Instagram Reels or TikTok? They because the mouths just go up and down. So they but they make it go simultaneous. But they put famous Soprano scenes audio behind Bert and Ernie. You seen them?
Oh, really?
They're hilarious.
Love Bert and Ernie.
They're. I think Bert would be good in the gym. He's got little arms, but a couple of cycles of D-ball and test, he'd be all right.
It's the Brady Anderson of the Muppets. Yeah. Muppet offshoot. All right, so you never answered my question. Instead, you threw in that the tank is on. We're all being fooled because they're tanking so well.
Yeah.
I think you want to lean towards not smashing Getsy and get after execution.
I'm on the other side.
You're after Getsy.
Yeah.
Okay, what we're referencing is it's 17-13. You get this turnover. You set up on the three. You run three straight times. I think it was execution. And one, I was glad that Alexander Mattison spoke, but I thought he had a chance to cut back. I think it was on third down. You know, sometimes And he was hit early. There was penetration on all three run plays, and the pass play had no shot either. A lot of that comes down to execution. You can't do it for the players.
Execution by who? Madison?
Offensive line and the running back.
I don't think it's on Madison. I don't. I think, and he said it, and I spoke to Jacoby Myers off to the side after the rest of the guys did. The bottom line is when you're playing against a defensive front, we talked about it last week when we talked about the Chiefs, and the fact that this is not known as the high-flying Chiefs of 2020 when they won their first, right? They've been to four of the last five Super Bowls. They've won three of them, and it all started with the high-flying offense. Now it's more about the defense. You're the offensive coordinator. You got to know the defensive front you're going against. Madison can only do so much. The offensive line, yeah, that it's bad. But gets you to know that he's got a bad. My question is, why in the heck aren't we calling Brock Bowers' number at that point? Why aren't we sending Madison up on a little draw play,
at least once,
a little fake, and dish off to the side on first down? Why not have Minshew roll out and maybe dump off to Bowers and try? Make an attempt. It wasn't going to be any worse than what we saw, unless you have no confidence in Minshew's arm, which I mean, bottom. But Bowers disappeared, and yet he started strong.
Yeah.
So I put it on Getsy.
Tell you, it was ballsy and creative with some of the play calls, especially on fourth down. Boise State. Tight ends. Could not cover them.
Did they never not go for one?
They were 4 for 4. Now, it makes it easier to be confident when you've got the best running back in the country, but they also executed some fakes using him, some play action, and then throwing to the tight end. They had,
oh, what a concept.
Well.
No, I was not.
I think it's execution.
I was not on the side of execution.
Madison said there's two sides of the story. There's the physical and there's the execution. Both of them have to be in alignment. There was a couple times when we weren't, and we just have to own up to it. Take accountability. Pierce said he maintained that execution and lack of detail are bigger issues than Getsy and the play calling.
Right. I asked all four, Myers, Madison, Pierce, and Minshew. I was one that asked about Luke Getsy. Pierce said, we're not going to talk about it. Madison, I give him credit for, at least he said it's a combination of both. We do have to execute, but we have to be in sync. Okay, there's a perfect example. That sequence of plays, let's be in sync. Let's call smart plays inside the three when we have four shots at it after a turnover. The crowd behind us, we're down 17-13, we can take the lead. Be in sync, meaning call the right plays and we can execute better. Or let's just send me up the gut three straight times. Yeah, that's on Madison. They're not going to figure that out. And then Minshew gets sacked because he's rolling to the right. You do that on fourth? Come on.
They've got new football game day specials here at Ellis Island. Wow, you really did that. All right, don't direct it at me. I'm not calling the plays.
I tried to do it.
You did
the
chin flick at me. They've got new football game day specials: $5 Crown Royal, Smirnoff, Captain Morgan, or Smash Vodka soda can. You want to add a shot to your beer? Not in the beer, but you know, shot in a beer, right? Beer and a shot, $2 on that one. So get on down here. We're just starting off. World Series coming up, game number 3. Got the football game with the Steelers involved. And kudos to the vast sound crew. I'm guessing that was Ari with that great rejoin. Good job, guys.
15 seconds to air. Stand by, all cameras.
Ready with slow motion and isolated cameras. In less than 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Take tape.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, more Kermit talk. I saw your request, but more of that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Hold it for now. Big night last night for Nick Bosa. Niners win. He sports a MAGA hat, I think, during the Purdy interview. Gets that flashed, and then got to his press availability. He's like, nah, I'm not going to talk about it. It's an important time, though, he said. His birthday was this weekend. Any clue how old he is? What are we looking at here, 28, 27?
I'm trying to figure out what's on those plates. Did he tweet this picture out?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a picture of him, like a birthday dinner at someone's home or his home. Did you look at this, Griff?
Yeah, you're talking about his birthday meal?
Yeah, because Willie's trying to zoom in on it. Can you figure out what any of the food items are? There's four bowls. We'll check that. There's three serving dishes slash bowls of food, and then there's something in the back that could be a soup, could be a sauce.
I see a Pellegrino. I see some greens. I think that might be bread, steak. I can't tell what that is in that.
The foreground plate. Is that. What is that, Willie?
Hang on.
Pictures for radio. This always hit radio. But it was a big mystery online because he tweeted out this birthday photo.
Well,
and everyone's like, what is that food?
Is that angel hair pasta?
I don't think so. I saw a pretty consistent guess. I don't think
that
guy.
Ravioli?
I don't think that guy eats pasta. Even though he comes from the Bosa crime family.
And what's the. You're saying
actually the
Ricardo
crime family.
Sauteed green beans?
A lot of people guess green
beans.
A lot of people guess meatloaf. I don't. Do you think he eats meat?
Yeah.
I think he's like a Brady type, but at 275 pounds. I think he's a real clean eater.
Okay, it could be meatless meatloaf.
Oof.
It could be soy, right? Like a soy burger.
Did you guys have a vegan option at the Raiders game?
Yeah.
How was it?
They call it soy riso in the morning.
I like the soy riso.
Instead of chorizo, it's soy.
We had barbecue tofu.
Okay, time
out. I was like, this is the only way tofu is good. You just slathered barbecue sauce
right.
all over it. I was like,
so
this
you,
isn't bad. Until you snap into it and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Since you remember what you had, and you've asked me week after week, and you think that I'm exaggerating, what else did they serve, do you remember, was right next to the barbecue soy or whatever it was?
It was kind of a soupy pulled pork.
It was hash, pulled pork hash or something like that.
Oh, really?
You don't remember that?
I had it. I actually made a little sandwich with the pulled pork, and I put some
of the
barbecue.
Guess what we have for breakfast served for us.
Oh, no, they're serving the leftovers.
Yes.
That's why you guys have so much trouble with the Raiders spread.
I told you.
I didn't know that.
I've said before that they save stuff, and we get you and
they
back to back.
That's breaking news for Broadcaster Bites.
Okay, and then I've told you at the other end how they have the hot dog stand.
Yeah.
And they try to dress it up based on who the team is, and then they'll put the toppings. That was the best yesterday. They had.
What they have for KC?
They had barbecue. They had burnt ends.
What?
And mac and cheese.
Oh, that's nice.
Next to the hot dogs. That was the best thing of the whole thing.
We also had mac and cheese, so you got the leftover mac and cheese repurposed.
Probably.
Oh, that's shocking.
It was the same mac and cheese, yeah.
I think that's spaghetti squash, if I can say it correctly. Spaghetti squash.
Spaghetti squash is good. I have one at home to make.
Is it good?
I'm gonna make one this week.
Is it as good as spaghetti?
No. It's not the same, but if you do it right, like I use it and make a lasagna with it, so I layer it with the cheese and the sauce, and it just depends on how you do it. But spaghetti squash is pretty good.
Well, he's 6'4", 275 with like 3% body fat. So happy birthday to Nick Bosa, who doesn't
he's not fluffy.
Eat anything risky. No, he's not fluffy. He can fit into his suits, unlike some of us.
I can fit in my suits.
I can't fit into my 46s. It's still a 48. Big guy.
Easy, Turbo. You're tapping your delts. You should tap your stomach.
I know. Well, it's more of a kind of a Greg the Hammer Valentine build from back in the WWE.
Yeah,
days, you know?
Sure.
A little bit of muscle, but some gut, some mushiness. It happens, man. It happens. Ellis Island, Monday Night Football is on the way. World Series coming up. Get on down to your front yard. Great week for Halloween. We're going to tell you about some of the Halloween festivities, which also includes, or they include, a showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I think I'm coming out for that midweek. But on the way, Confucius, Kareem Cosell, Steve Kim.
Steve Kim, the host of the Three Knockdown Rule podcast, joins Cofield and Company, presented by Snack Nutrition.
Willie's here. It's Cofield. Steve Kim is with us. Confucius.
Steve Kim.
How are you, sir?
Good. What's going on, fellas?
A whole lot. Another happy weekend or happy Monday here after a Raiders game. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. I want to get to college football here in a few, but I wanted to ask you, did you get a chance to check in on the Boise UNLV game on Friday night?
I actually did watch all of that game. I was in Miami, the place I was staying at. I was with some friends. We viewed that game. It was probably one of the three or four best games of the weekend.
It was a good game, and intriguing stories come out of it with Ash and Genty, but we'll get to that in a couple minutes. All right, we got Game 3 of the World Series going down. You know, I don't think I've ever asked you, are you a Dodgers fan? Do you care about baseball anymore? I know your Laker, well, your NBA fandom has kind of decreased over the years. Where are you with baseball now?
Don't really care, I'll be honest with you. I'm probably the one person in L.A. that has not seen a single pitch of the World Series. At one point, I was an avid baseball fan. That's what I played growing up. That was my sport. That I was basically allowed to play, and I did through most of my childhood. And, you know, I used to be a Dodger fan until the Dodgers let Steve Garvey go in free agency after the 1982 season. And the last game he ever played was that famous home run hit by Joe Morgan in Candlestick Park on the last day of the season. So the Dodgers got bounced from the playoff race. And as a kid, I had such loyalty to Garvey. I said, whatever team he goes to, that's what I'm going to be a fan of. And that guy picks the Padres. He couldn't do the Yankees. God, he couldn't do me a solid. And as the years have passed, basically, I care less and less about other sports except basically a few. So that's where my baseball fandom lies right now.
Steve Kim is with us. You weren't allowed to play golf?
I was allowed to. I just had no interest in it, to be honest with you.
Damn. Look at how big golf is now.
Yeah. Whatever.
You blew it. It's probably in your jeans. Raiders and the Chiefs. I saw you retweet, I think it was like a Sacktown Kings fan, just lamenting about what home field advantage has become here in Las Vegas. And I don't even really get mad at this, but the person said no civic pride with the Raiders in Las Vegas. And that kind of plays out, especially with good teams that have national followings like the Chiefs. The Chiefs fans invaded Allegiant. And, yeah, it was basically a road game for much of the time. At least it felt like it for the Raiders.
You know, Steve, what's interesting, here at SoFi Stadium in L.A., the Raiders and Rams, or Chargers, excuse me, go through the same thing. I'm not so sure that they have a real definitive home field advantage on a week-to-week basis. In essence, they probably play about 15 road games and maybe one or two games that are neutral site games, especially the Chargers. The Rams, it depends on who they play, but I think Mark Davis, he got a load of money off of it. He got rich. But in terms of having a certain texture or fabric to that fan base that really cares about the franchise, it's gone. It really is. I think the tweet that you're referencing basically called this the NFL version of the Airbnb for a weekend getaway, and it's the truth. And every time I watch a Raider game, no matter who they play, you look around when they do the panoramic view of Allegiant Stadium, I see a lot of the opposite colors that are not silver and black. And I don't think that's a coincidence, and I'm not so sure that's going to really change. Short of, guys, the Raiders becoming a really good perennial playoff team year after year, and it seems like they're light ways a year from that.
Steve, how bad are things for my Dallas Cowboys in which we have a player confronting a reporter, not just confronting a reporter, but leaving the locker room in full uniform to go confront the reporter?
Yeah, I mean, in the immortal words of the great Michael Ray Richardson, this ship be sinking. And I don't know if they've hit the full-blown iceberg yet, but, you know, Diggs, I thought that was just a bad look. The guy was being a little bit snarky. But at the same time, he was willing to discuss it. What were you doing on that play? I think the problem with the Cowboys that they have, Willie, in my view, is they still have some parts. They still have some big names that everyone's going to recognize. But the albatross is that Dak Prescott's being paid an exorbitant amount of money. And the more and more I see Dak, especially when a play breaks down early, he has no athleticism left. There is a real erosion in terms of his ability to escape the pocket and extend plays. And even though his numbers generally look good, they really do, when you don't watch the game. But sometimes it's not about the throws that you complete. It's about the ones that you miss and the turnovers. He had three of them again last night. I do wonder if Jerry Jones, in the back of his mind, has buyer's remorse over the newest contract to Dak Prescott.
Speaking of confrontations, J.C. Horn, Carolina Panthers, not happy with Sean Payton. He confronts him after the game, letting him know they did not appreciate Denver running up the score after the Broncos run a fake field goal, trick play, on 4th-and-2, up by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, look, I get the sense that if you're anyone on the Carolina Panthers, you're probably sick of everyone running it up and down on you. But, you know, old-school coaches will tell you it's not my job to score for you or to prevent you from scoring. There's some real issues with the Panthers that it looks like they're headed for another collision course from the number one pick. But they are more than a player away. There is no savior for that franchise. But I think it – look, let me just tell you something. When a professional athlete is asking for mercy, that is the worst form of capitulation you can possibly have at that level. This is not high school where they have a running clock or college football. In the National Football League, you better toughen up. It is a man's game, and there is no mercy in that league.
Well, it's a terrible reflection on the respect that J.C. Horn has for Dave Canales, to me. And that's embarrassing.
Yeah,
you're embarrassing your coach.
It is, and I don't know what they're going to do. I guess Bryce Young played a little bit, and you know, nothing's going to change there. I think there's something that's very apparent from last year's draft. Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson, is it too early to say that they're bust now? Have we seen enough to say that this ain't going to work out with them?
You know, the funny thing is you're putting them together. Bryce Young is whatever he is, 5'10 and 170 pounds, and you know, Anthony Richardson is like 6'5", 300, and Richardson actually pulled himself from the game. Now, I'm guessing maybe that has happened in the history of football with a quarterback, but because of exhaustion, because he had a long run, and then he readily admits after the game, he's like, I was kind of tired. I had to tap out. Like, this is not a substitution in the NBA, and it's not even like an offensive or defensive lineman. You're the freaking quarterback, bro.
Yeah, and it goes to show you that his style of play is, as Coach JB would say, is not sustainable. And I never understood why it was such a high draft choice. He started 1 year at Florida, and if you look at his numbers, the thing that was very alarming was he was right around 50-ish percent in terms of pass completion in an era when 60% is actually considered a little bit below average. And he was much closer to 50, and you could see the raw athleticism, but you could also see that there was an issue. Even in the age of mobile quarterbacks, you still have to have that ability to consistently make passes and put it on guys, and he does not do that. And I think there's going to come a point in time where the Colts are just going to have to say, all right, what are we doing here? Is this guy actually the quarterback of our present or future? But I just never understood why a guy that only started 1 year that had eligibility left. But again, everyone got tantalized by the athleticism without actually looking at the game tape enough.
Yeah, I think the dream quarterback in the NFL is one who can get to the edge, can run, but is like Josh Allen, you know, 6'5", 240 pounds. And Allen was kind of the same way. He was a low completion guy, but he actually played a lot of football at Wyoming. So to me, Richardson probably needed a couple of years to develop. And, you know, most teams don't want to do that with a quarterback. So I guess throw him out on the field. They're either going to destroy him. Maybe he'll turn the corner. But right now, I don't know what you tell the rest of the team when you've got a backup who actually was okay and might excel. He was really good last year, age 100. It's a weird position right now for Shane Steichen and that Colts team. Are you developmental or you're trying to win this year?
Yeah. I mean, look, last year it was interesting. Joe Flacco actually won some games, took Cleveland to the playoffs, and you see Jameis Winston come in, led them to a dramatic victory. This much will never change in the National Football League. You can be a great athlete, but you better have an ability to operate inside the pocket and deliver the ball on time consistently and with accuracy. You can talk about all the athletic upside you want. Quarterback is still a position of craft and skill, which is why guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, you know, as limited as they were athletically, they could play a very long time. You got to have a football IQ. And look, the Colts still have some talent, but if you don't have a guy that can, I mean, he's actually putting up some of the worst numbers in NFL history for modern times in terms of the way he is so inaccurate, and you have an ability to depress the whole team. Because I've seen bad offenses really depress a defense to a point where they quit in their own way because they're out on the field too much. So I just think, again, when you look at the Colts, I would love to see what their internal meetings were before that draft about why would we draft a guy that doesn't even have a dozen starts under his belt and threw for right around 50% at the University of Florida.
Steve Kim is with us. Well, speaking of the state of Florida for college football, Canes wind up crushing Florida State 36-14. The running back, Martinez, goes off. Do you think Miami's going to win out before the ACC title game? Can they actually get to number one before the postseason starts? Remaining games at Duke, G-Tech, Wake, and at Cuse.
Well, I think the Georgia Tech game, if Haynes King is healthy and can play, that's a dangerous game. That's in Atlanta at Bobby Dodd Stadium. I'll be going to that game. I've circled that game. I thought Syracuse would be a bit of a threat, but then Kyle McCord just imploded on Thursday night. That was actually startling to see because he had been pretty good for much of this year. Miami, you know, look, they're not a complete team. I still think defensively on the back end, they need better athletes. And the offensive line the last few weeks, they're starting to show some leakage in terms of the pass protection, but it's a very good team offensively. You know, I was at the Florida State game. It was probably the most muted Florida State-Miami game I've ever attended. It just didn't necessarily didn't feel like a rivalry game. Let's just put it this way, and I guess that's what happens when you're 1-6. But, yeah, Miami can win the rest of their games. I think they're going to be favored substantially in every single game. I believe they're 19.5 against Duke at home this Saturday. I expect them to win that game pretty handily. And then they go to Georgia Tech. I do think the Georgia Tech game, again, if Haynes King's play, there is some danger there.
Steve, real quick, Penn State, Ohio State are just in front of Miami in the AP rankings. And the rankings, both AP and coaches, should not and they shouldn't have any significance on the playoff rankings. But if there is influence, who would you rather? Penn State plays Ohio State this week. Who would you rather win to drop down? Does it make sense for Miami? In, you know, for down the line?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because, again, Ohio State already has a loss and they are very lucky to escape against Nebraska. I look, keep this in mind. To get one of the top four seeds, you have to win the conference title and then everything else becomes an at-large and you have Notre Dame out there and whoever the G5 team is. It looks like Boise State has the inside track. What would be better for Miami? That's an interesting question. Would it be a two-loss Ohio State team or a lot of chaos with one-loss teams in the Big Ten? You know, I'd have to really think about it, but part of me kind of wants Penn State to win because at that point, guys, there becomes a lot of pressure on Ohio State because you're talking about the most highly paid team in college football. There's a lot of pressure on Ryan Day, not just to get to the playoffs, but to win it, and to already have two wins. That means in the last few games or two, you're kind of on that playoff bubble because I'm not so sure a three-loss team is going to get in. It's certainly not a guarantee, even in the Big Ten. So part of me wants Penn State to win because I do want to see some of the chaos in that conference.
Yeah, we got less than a minute here. I think the Big 12 is going to be the most interesting conference down the stretch here because I think it's going to be a bloodbath. Teams are going to knock each other off. And there is a scenario here where BYU, Kansas State, Iowa State could all be ranked behind Boise State. If Boise State rolls the rest of the way, can beat whoever it is, UNLV in the Mountain West Conference title game, unless the committee purposely ranks them really low coming out of the gates, Boise State's probably going to be higher ranked than the Big 12 team, and they could actually get that four seed.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. The Big 12's been very balanced, and Steve, don't forget Colorado. They are playing well. I think people have to tip their hat to Coach Prime. That's a good, solid football team. Structurally, they're much better than they are last year. And you have one of the best quarterbacks in the world and the most dangerous two-way threat that I think we've seen in our lifetime in Travis Hunter. I would not count out Colorado because with that speed outside, I think they're a threat to anyone in the Big 12.
Steve, good job. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There he is, Steve Kim. Three knockdown rule, his spot every week with Cofield and Company is presented by Snack Nutrition, and we'll build on that throughout the week. Yeah, Boise is, now that it got past UNLV, on track to potentially finish top 10, and then what is that going to do for this bracket? Can you imagine being, whatever, ninth, and you're the 12th seed? What?